I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word Podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word Podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.
Hi, I'm Dan Dunn, the host of What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, a show that mixes history, culture, politics, famous people, and booze, and strains it through the cognitive mesh of my sozzled gray matter. Join me each week as I take a lighthearted stroll through the consequential role that alcohol has played through the ages, and how it shaped key moments in history, quite literally changing the world. For instance, did you know that Thomas Jefferson started the first U.S. wine company in Virginia with investments from George Washington and Ben Franklin? It's true. And if you're wondering whose winery sits across the street from Jefferson's estate today, here's a hint. What's orange, president, and has a very good brain and the best people. I'll also tell you about new stuff to drink, trends, recipes, and other things that are good to know. And I'll chat up celebrities, along with the movers and shakers of the adult beverage world. And since this is a show about alcohol, I'd like to remind you that drinking can cause memory loss. Or even worse, memory loss. Where was I? Oh, right. Plugging my show. It's called What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. It's fun, I promise. So come on, pull up a bar stool and let's kick it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media, the sexy liberal podcast network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is writer Sarah Wood. She has a special announcement, and then we're going to talk about all the things. So before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode just for patrons every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal, where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Sarah Wood. Welcome back to the show, Sarah.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Well, it's good to have you. And I said in the intro that you've got an announcement. So I'm curious, and you posted about your announcement on Facebook that I am aware of. I'm sure you posted everywhere. So tell everybody what it is.
I posted it a few places. Well, I have started a new business, and it's a social media strategy business. So basically, I'm looking to help, you know, either campaigns or causes, progressive campaigns and causes, you know, help them with social strategy, elevate their voices. Yeah.
So
that's and help them really get out there in an organic way, mainly, because a lot of times people will pay to play, but that doesn't usually pay off in the long run.
Right.
I mean, good short term, especially if you want to have a few followers, but if you want those followers to engage.
Right.
Organic.
So you're basically are you teaching people how to run their social media?
Or they can hire me to run their social media.
I see. Okay. Interesting. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Or I can like advise. There's different tiers of involvement, the whole thing. Yeah. And it's called Relevate Strategies, and you can go to relevatestrategies.com and it will tell you all the things.
Well, I wish you well, and I have no doubt you'll find success because you're very good at what you do. And so, you know, good luck to you and all my best.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. So one of the things that I want to start the show, and it's funny because what I wrote down in my notes is we're not out of the woods, and your last name is Wood, and it just occurred to me. But we're not out of the woods yet. We're still in the thick of fuckery, right? Of fascism fuckery. But and then also, you know, the last couple of weeks have been terrible, and we will talk about Charlie Kirk in a minute. And I haven't even talked about Charlie Kirk really, I don't think, because last week, well, maybe I did. I think I talked about it with Jody. But regardless, that was hard, right? I it was a very difficult week when he got shot. Yeah. And we've experienced all kinds of shit. You know, I mean, every day I was like thinking, what's happened since Charlie Kirk's death? And what a joke to even ask. I don't know, like a gazillion things have happened. So yesterday, or was like the day before yesterday, I saw that Robert Reich wrote The Sleeping Giant is Awakening. And it was a Substack, and it was all about how MAGA is starting to wake up to Trump. Then I see The Tide is Turning This Week by Heather Cox Richardson, which is also, she referenced Robert Reich's piece. And then she also said, well, this is something I've been seeing for the last couple of years, that yes, people are waking up, the tide is turning, Trump's popularity is down, blah, blah, blah. And then I saw, this was really fascinating. It is on YouTube, and it says, MAGA Christians are turning on Trump for two reasons. Now, this was Park Rose Permaculture. If you're not following her on YouTube, I highly recommend it. She is fantastic about, you know, not only just breaking down things in politics, but she helps me. And she talks about like Indivisible and things people can do, because I think sometimes if you're not familiar with websites like Indivisible or whatnot, it's not just about knocking on doors in elections. They offer up ways to like work with your community, help keep vulnerable people safe, you know, help with food drives, all these different things you can do. So if you're feeling like, I don't know what to do, please visit Indivisible. I think it's indivisible.org, and just look at the different options because there's so many options. But anyway, so this particular video was fascinating. So first it was this MAGA Christian woman, and I guess it was on TikTok, and she was talking about how she was a full-blown Trump supporter. She did all the things. She went, you know, to his inauguration. She campaigned for him. She donated everything you could do to support. And now she, as a Christian woman, has realized that he's the devil and he's evil, and everybody in his, you know, all the people who are working with him are evil and they're terrible and they've all been fooled. And so, you know, she's making this big statement telling everybody, look, he's not who we thought he was. But what was most fascinating was the woman who goes by Park Rose Permaculture, I don't remember her name. She started showing us the comments, and the comments were just one after the other, after the other, after the other, of all these religious people, all these Christians saying, you know, things like, well, liberals and conservatives aren't ever going to agree on everything, but we have to learn how to live together. They were all in agreement with her. They were basically saying, we've been conned. We have to move away from this division. So her whole point to this video was somebody had sent it to her, and she was amazed by it. And she's like, is this real? Like, is this a thing? And I guess she's just going to be keeping her eye on it. But I think, you know, this is all to say that, again, we are still not out of the woods. We are dealing with all kinds of chaos and craziness. But there's this sense from people that I trust, like I said, Heather Cox Richardson and Robert Reich specifically, that the tide is turning. So I wanted to ask you, I mean, obviously, like I said, there's shit going on and it's awful. But are you feeling that, or how are you feeling?
It's odd. Like I some days I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Like, it just feels like up is down and left is right, and like, well, not left is right, but like left. But just like, it just feels like bizarro land. Mm-hmm. And then other times I'm like, oh, people are waking up, the people are going to fight back. And I said the other day on Blue Sky, I was like, it feels like we're in a superhero movie where the villain is winning. We're at that point where the villain is really winning. And but then that's the point where the people wake up and begin to fight back. And I think we're getting to that crest. We're seeing that like boycotts of ABC, Disney and Hulu work.
Yeah. Like,
we have to use, oddly enough, capitalism to fix our country.
Yeah, and that's what I've been saying.
Yeah, hit them where it hurts. Hit them at their bottom line, and they're going to wake up real fast. Because right now, especially like when you saw all those like tech billionaires up with Trump at the inauguration, they were looking at their bottom line through him, thinking like, he's going to be best for our bottom line.
Yeah.
And if we can switch that to be like Trump's going to hurt our bottom line, that's when we can really, really make an impact.
Yeah, because that, you know, when they made the announcement that Jimmy Kimmel was coming back on, I said something, what did I say? Capitalism trumps fascism. And the thing is that, you know, for good reason, we've all been complaining about capitalism. And frankly, I don't really have a problem with capitalism as long as it's regulated, as long as the billionaires pay their fair share. I mean, it used to be that you would make, let's just say you made up to, you know, $999 million or whatever, and then, or anything over $1 billion would be taxed by 90% or whatever it would be. So you still get to have a lot of your money. But, you know, the taxing of the billionaires, the taxing of you know, the corporations and taking corporations out of politics and all that stuff. I don't have a problem with capitalism if that's how it's going to go, if it's going to be regulated. But if it's just unbridled and it gets to do whatever it wants. So, yeah, I like to call us now we the consumers used our power and we used capitalism to fight fascism, although I think it's important to note that if it ever does, like you were saying, all those oligarchs standing with Trump, because they believed that fascism would benefit from capitalism, but it can be the other way around. And I think that this is, you know, I've heard talk of a general strike. I know we're not there. We're not even close to getting to something like that. But the more that people realize that they can change things and that they can make a difference with their wallets. I mean, we've seen it with Target, and you know, they've lost money consistently since they got rid of their DEI. Yeah. So, I mean, I feel hopeful. I do. I know what you mean, because it's like everything is terrible. But one of the points that they make and that the Park Rose permaculture has been making is that when we see Trump doing all these crazy things, and you know, trying to scare the shit out of us, it's kind of an indication that he's afraid. I mean, his numbers are in the toilet, and he's just trying. And they push and they wait to see what's going to happen. And when there's a pushback, they back down. And I think, you know, that's another indication that there. And then there's the thing. I just won't stop talking, but I can't help it, because it's like there's the idea that we were all raised as Americans. We were indoctrinated into the idea that we live in a democracy and we have liberty. And even Ted fucking Cruz was defending free speech. That's how far Donald Trump is pushing it.
Yeah, when you have like Ted Cruz like, being like, dude, you've gone too far.
And Megyn Kelly.
Yeah, because here's the thing is like, I've been preaching for decades that like consumers are the job creators. Like if you have an economy where people can't afford to live, which is what we're in right now, we're going to lose jobs. Mm-hmm. We're going to all this stuff. So it's like I could go on for hours. Bottom line, no pun intended, we can use capitalism to fight back. We absolutely can. If they're going to use it as a tool,
right,
we can use it as a tool.
Yes. And you know what? I have to get on my soapbox just for a minute, because I do not tolerate the Eeyores out there that declare democracy is dead. And so I said something on my Facebook page, and I said, you know, I'm going to block the people who are dooming in my comments. So this woman comes on and she's like, you always say that you're going to block people. And I don't, you know, whatever. And she said, you know, it's good for you that you're so secure about democracy, but some of us aren't. And so I said, well, the reason I talk about blocking people is because I've got a lot of followers and I don't know them all personally. So I can't, you know, I just make blanket statements because I want people to know I'm not tolerating this. If you want to be Doom on your page, go for it, but don't do it on mine. So I do get pushback on this occasionally because people say, well, I'm afraid. So here's where I want to clarify. I don't think there's anything wrong with talking about the fact that you're worried or you're afraid or you're concerned. That is very different than saying democracy is dead and we are toast. Yeah. That's a declaration.
Exactly.
And so the thing is, I also don't know, since I have thousands of followers that I don't know, many of us do. I don't know if this is whether it's Russian or Republican or whatever, but you have internet trolls that are intentionally dampen enthusiasm. So I don't want anybody, because it's contagious. You know, it's like I posted on Facebook. It's like you could be in a really bad mood, right? And you're feeling like, oh my God, everything's over. I'm so scared. And then you see three or four people going, it's over. Democracy's over. You're going to feel like solidified in that more. You're going to be like, yeah, you know what? It is. And then when we come from that, and it's clearly not over yet. I mean, right now we're living in a fascist country 100%. But that doesn't mean we're not going to get democracy back. And so there's human psychology here. And when you have declared and decided this is the way it is, then that is what you're acting from. That's the point of view you're acting from. That leaves out any possibility that democracy could come back. You've just closed the door on democracy. And obviously you're free to do that. You're not free to do that on my page because I'll delete it. But you're free to think that way. But again, my point is not about, you know, I feel fear every day. I'm concerned. I'm worried. I don't know what's going to happen in the long run. I mean, I have, you know, I can have hope. I can see signs of light, but until it's done, it's not done. And we don't know. So just, you know, please, if you're feeling doomed, just post that. Just say, I'm feeling afraid. I'm feeling worried, but don't say it's over, because first of all, that's not necessarily true. And you're just helping other people to shut down when you do that.
So, and you're helping the other side when you do that.
Yes.
Because that's what they want. They want you to give up. They
yes.
want you to give up hope, because then they've won. Because you think about, like, how did it happen in Germany? How
yeah.
did it happen? How did so many people? Yes, you had the people who fell in line really quickly, like all the red caps here. But then, like, over time, and because, like, Nazi Germany didn't happen overnight. It happened,
right.
like, over the course of decades. And you saw, like, people slowly just giving up and being mm-hmm. like, this is the way that it is. And if I want to survive, I have to do what they're telling me to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, we're not there. We do have a voice. And if we have a voice, we have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And we can push back still. And we can have power. Like, we can do consumer boycotts.
Mm-hmm.
We can do all these things still. So hope isn't gone. We aren't lost. And that's what these people need to realize.
Yeah. And you know, it's, even if you have like 10 followers, it doesn't matter, because thousands of people can still see your message. If someone retweets you, or, you know, whatever it is, even if you have 3 followers and you're commenting on someone who has 10,000 followers, then your comment is likely going to be seen by thousands of people. And so you influence people. And I think, you know, we live in this world where everybody just feels so isolated. And you feel like you don't have any impact, but you do. Everyone impacts everybody else. We all do. And I mean, it's normal to, you know, we've never been through this before as a nation, but it is a normal feeling under the current circumstances to feel, I mean, I would be concerned if somebody was just like happy about everything that's happening. Obviously, it's awful. But yeah, I think that there are, like I said, you know, you go back to the indoctrination of Americans as, you know, freedom, democracy. We are not a people that just lays down so easily. And I'm glad to see that people are fighting back. I mean, I have a feeling that in order to get to the next level, to a much better democracy, it's going to require, I think, pain. You know, and we're feeling pain right now. whether it's the ICE, whether it's the higher prices, whether it's, you know, I mean, they are trying to, what are they trying to do in schools? Teach? I don't even remember what they're trying to do right now, what the Heritage Foundation is trying to do in public schools. But I mean, there's a lot of pain all the way around. And it's going to increase. I think we're going to have more pain. And there's going to be, I think, a point where people finally just wake up. And I want to throw this in there too. Greg Oliar keeps, you know, I should say reiterate this. Greg Oliar wrote a piece about Nazi Germany saying that, you know, two of the key differences were that A, there was not a government that resisted, and we've got that in 1930s Germany. Plus, there was no public resistance, and we have that too. So, I mean, I think the Democratic Party, it's on the right side of history. And in some cases, I think that we've got real fighters. In other cases, some of them are a little too timid. But I think ultimately they would do well to get somebody in there in the, strategy focus on human psychology, because that's what Republicans do. Absolutely. They understand human psychology and they use it as strategy. And hope is great, but hope isn't enough in a fascist setting. It's not enough. It's got to be, you know, people have to understand what we're up against. I think Democrats would be, you know, Rachel Bitticoffer says this all the time. We need to use fear, but not fear mongering, not fear in they're going to take your guns, which is a lie. Fear in, you know, we won't have Medicaid. And I mean, they are doing that. We're not going to have Medicaid. We're not going to have this. We're not going to have that. But here's what we will have, and use the human psychology to talk to the public. And I think that they would do better. I really do. I wish they would incorporate it. But I still think that right now what's happening with Donald Trump, he doesn't look good. He's not healthy. And that's why I want to ask you about that. Now,
just to your other point, though, it's like what I've always said, too, is like Republicans are the best at the only thing they're good at is messaging and mm-hmm. strategy. Mm-hmm. And I've always said we need to do the same, but for good instead of evil.
Yeah, totally. So I know we've talked about his health before, but I mean, again, I think people are so used to seeing Don the Con, Teflon Don, get away with everything. And so there's kind of this, I don't know, like thought that, oh, nothing bad's going to happen to him because based on everything they've seen before. But let's just take all of the past and the story of Donald Trump and throw it away and just look at the man right now. Just, you know, forget about anything he's ever done or gotten away with. Just look at him now. Look at how he handled himself in front of the... He couldn't even fucking say acetaminophen.
Yeah.
It's like, he can't even speak.
Right.
And I mean, like, there is this feeling that I have that he's just not going to make it. Whether, you know, I'm not saying he's going to die, but, you know, he could have a stroke and not be able to talk anymore. There are things that could happen to him based on his health. And so I'm wondering, like, do you still feel, like, are you feeling like, yeah, the dude's just... only got a certain amount of time. Good.
Yeah, no, he doesn't look. I don't know how much time he has.
Well, but nobody does.
Just looking at like his symptoms and what we can see, like, and what health professionals have told us, like the bruising on the hand, that's indicative of like a major heart stuff, and like same with the ankles. So like he has something going on, and like there was that weekend when we didn't hear from him, and everybody was making assumptions.
I think he had a stroke.
I do think something happened, and then he had this revitalization of energy, mm-hmm. which we're still seeing. And I think he obviously got some sort of treatment that is helping. Mm-hmm. There has been speculation online, like you hear like nurses say, like maybe it's an LVAT, or like other people mm-hmm. have this or that. But I do think he's being treated for something. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how long he's going to live.
Well, nobody knows.
Yeah.
But I just don't see him making it to 2028. I just don't. I mean, and when I say that, I mean, I'm not saying I think he's going to die. I'm saying I don't think he's going to be able to be president until 2028. I just don't think I don't think his health is going to hold out. And obviously I could be wrong. I don't know. But, that so much emphasis was put on fucking Joe Biden's health. And, you know,
that's the hypocrisy of it. Did you see what he put up in the freaking White House, the picture of the pen?
No,
there's like the hallway coming into the White House that has all the presidents on it, uh-huh. And then you get to Obama, and then you got Trump. And then there's another picture of Trump after Biden. But instead of a picture of Biden, it's a picture of the auto pen.
Oh my God, I hate him so much.
It's just like this level of petty that like reaches levels that
like we've never seen
it. It's just like, holy shit. Like, was this guy hugged as a child? Like, he is so, everything about what he does is something that's like hurt that he's felt himself.
Yeah.
Like when you hear him, oh, it's just, it's wild. You're just like, oh my God, why? I wish he was hugged as a child. I wish he would get a therapist. Like, he goes and he like, whenever I wrote something on Blue Sky just now where I forgot what it was. This is how short my memory is these days. But it was just like, he needs to see a therapist. Oh, it was about his ratings, because like, he keeps saying low ratings. Everyone's like, low ratings. They should be off the air. Do you know why he was canceled off NBC? Low rating. Because he's projecting. He's like, this is what got me off the air. So I'm just going to say people have low ratings and then they'll be kicked off the air. So like something that like hurt him.
Right.
He's now like projecting onto others.
God.
And it's same with the autism stuff. And I am like, I don't know for certain. This is all speculation, but I am a former autism educator. And I've said from the beginning when I've watched Barron Trump, he seems to be on the spectrum.
That's what I've heard. I mean, I heard that too. And then I think Melania had, somebody had posted something like that and she went after them. So you're not allowed to say it, but
we're not allowed to say it apparently. But as a former autism educator, I saw some signs that would be indicative that he might be. So allegedly.
Right.
And
so therefore if his son,
and now he's saying when women taking Tylenol leads to autism. Okay. So there you're blaming Melania.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, and the MMR needs to be spaced out. Okay, there you're blaming vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, God forbid you blame something about himself. But it's like, here's the thing. Autism isn't a disease.
Right. It's just different.
It's a neurotype. I call it a superpower, because if you've ever worked with these kids and adults, oh my God, it's a fucking superpower. And that's what I keep trying. I'm like, stop. Like, why are we trying to fix them? There's nothing wrong with them.
They just have a different perspective.
Yeah, it's the way they see. Oh, I saw a joke online where a child with autism got in trouble by his teacher, because the teacher was like, oh, what would your parents say if I called them right now? And the kid goes, hello. And I was like, it's so true. That is what they
That's so funny. Yeah, well, I mean, that, oh my God, I can't even, like, the fucking RFK, he's so awful, and I don't know, you know, I mean, I don't even know what happens. Like, let's say Donald Trump, for whatever reason, is no longer the president, and JD had to take over. I mean, does RFK stay? God, can we get rid of him? He's so awful. I just can't even take it. I can't even take it.
Like, and Dr. Oz, like, I saw that whole press conference, and I was like, holy shit, it's like Idiocracy 2.
Yeah.
The Return of Idiots. I can't, like... This is just wild. I'm waiting for them to be up there being like, Brando is, it's what is it? Like the Brando, it's what you crave. It has a
right.
Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Oh my God. All right. Well, you know what? We have to take a quick break, but we will be back after this message. Hey, this is Kimberly, the host of the show you're listening to right now. In case you're not a Patreon subscriber, please consider supporting the show. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. You'll see all these different tiers. Take a look at which one suits you and become my supporter today. I'd appreciate it. Thank you so much. And we're back. All right, so I want to switch the conversation over to, there was this tweet by a woman, I don't know her, so forgive me. She's got a blue check on X, which means nothing. But Tara Palmieri, I don't know who she is, but she looks like she was on MSNBC, and she said the Epstein survivors are fed up. They're using Washington's own playbook, opposition research, on lawmakers blocking the Epstein files. I'm publishing the first piece in the Reckoning series in the red letter on a GOP senator with close ties to Ghislaine Maxwell. So I think that's interesting because, okay, first of all, I want to say with Charlie Kirk, right? Everybody, right before Charlie Kirk died, the Wall Street Journal posted that birthday book. Oh my God, and it was so awful. So it was everywhere. And we're seeing disgusting cards and notes and wink, wink pedophile jokes from all of Jeffrey Epstein's friends. And it's all over the internet. And then all of a sudden, Charlie Kirk gets murdered on camera, basically. And then no one's talking about it. So it's kind of gone away, except for the fact that, yeah, we're not letting it go. People are kind of keeping it alive by mentioning it and using, you know, Tylenol memes and putting them together with Epstein memes.
Yep.
So, and you know, and I knew that the survivors had said, I don't know when they said it. Was it in August when they all spoke? And they said that they were going to be making their own list. So I think, you know, there's this concern that Epstein is going to go away. It's not going away. It's not away.
It's not going anywhere. If anything, the Democrats just had a special election.
Yes.
That's going to like help them get the list out.
Now, there was a woman who won a special election in Arizona. So is she going to be a deciding vote or is she just going to be one more? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure about that either.
I can't confirm. I've seen people post about it being like she's a decider, but
right. I don't know if she's a decider.
Or they're just like one closer.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah, it's wild. Also, I have my own theories about things and I don't want to get conspiratorial, even though
let's just get a little conspiratorial because fuck not?
On the day Charlie Kirk was brutally murdered. They were also at this very same time voting about the Epstein list on the same day.
Which, by the way, Charlie Kirk wanted released.
Yeah, which Charlie Kirk wanted released.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so wild to me that I'm like, that story got completely buried.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't even get an ounce of sunlight besides like some liberal circles who knew about the vote.
There's all kinds of weird shit going on. I mean, like, look, I don't like to get all conspiratorial either, although, you know, our minds will go to that when we don't have answers. Then we just start wondering, what about this? And then someone offers up, you know, I mean, I look at the last August, was it August in Pennsylvania, at Butler, Pennsylvania? Do I believe that that was an actual assassination attempt? I don't trust that. Ear thing, his ear is fine. I don't trust it at all.
And you know what?
Initially, I totally believed it. And the reason I believed it was because I thought Trump will never put himself in a position where he would be in line of a bullet. And then, you know, number one, he might not have been in on it. Number two, I don't put anything fucking past them. I don't put anything past them. You know, nope. I think that's the sad place that we're in right now is that no matter what kind of crazy ass conspiracy that you could come up with, I mean, anything is plausible with them because they are so horrible and corrupt. And it's weird because Feminist News posted about Charlie Kirk's funeral. It's much more striking who didn't speak at Kirk's funeral. Neither of his parents, no siblings, no old friends, just his wife, Carlson, and a whole lineup of Trump people he maybe knew getting in their talking points.
Oh, yeah. It was a political rally. That wasn't a remembrance. The fact it was so bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Like watching that, like I didn't watch the whole thing. I just got like the snippets of whatever on like when people posted videos. Yeah. But I was like, what is it? It was just a political rally. They sold merch. His wife came out to pyrotechnics. And I was like, what's even happening? Now I don't want to bash her. There are a lot of things going around about her and people are discovering more about her, which is very fascinating. And if people wanted to Google that, feel free to Google it and go down your own rabbit hole on that. I know I have, but I will respect a grieving widow and her choices to wear white because maybe she was celebrating his life. I don't know. Maybe that was the sparklers too. But yeah, it was very odd. It was a political rally and it was just, you would have thought like his parents would have been up there.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, I don't know if he had siblings or like a cousin.
And why weren't they?
Yeah, it's odd to me. It's very odd to me. Yeah.
Well, and it's, you know, I know someone who, I mean, they follow politics, but they're not junkies like us. So they don't like know all the details about everything, but they just get the broader picture. And so I was talking to him this weekend and he was laughing at the whole Charlie Kirk thing and saying, not laughing at his murder, but laughing at the Republican response. And they're like, they're trying to turn him into a martyr. And like most of the country doesn't even know who he is. I mean, exactly. They're trying to fucking put him on money.
Yeah. I was telling people, I'm like, oh, did you hear? It was like right after it happened. I was like, oh my God, did you hear that Charlie Kirk got shot? Cause I don't wish that on
no.
my wish it on anybody. And they're like, who?
Exactly.
And I was like, oh, you know, that he's a right wing commentator. He has a podcast. He's been around for like a decade. He's like, he started as like a college kid and whatever. And they're like, I have no idea who he is. So we have like half the country has no idea who he is.
I think more than half the country doesn't know who he is. And, you know, I mean, he's been thrust into the spotlight now because of his death, but I don't, you know, people don't know who he is. Even my MAGA relative didn't know what she wasn't aware of what he said. I think she knew his name. And I think she was probably aware. I mean, she knew he died, but she had no idea of what he actually said. And, you know, these people, that woman from the Washington Post who was fired, the opinion writer, didn't say anything negative about him. All she did was post his fucking quote. And then she lost her job.
Yep. Because, like, he said some really fucking terrible things.
Yeah,
I'm
horrible.
I'm not a fan of Charlie Kirk.
But no, he had not
the right
at all.
To say what he wanted to say, just like I have, like, we have the right to say that's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Like talking about gay people and especially Black people and women.
Mm-hmm.
And trans people. God, like, it's awful.
It is awful. And, you know, I mean, the day that it happened, I just, you know, I mean, when Jimmy Kimmel was talking about it in his comeback, you know, he said his big comeback, but he kind of broke up and you could tell that he said it really affected me deeply. It affected me deeply too. And I fucking hated Charlie Kirk. I hated him. Same. And you know what? I don't want to say I hated him because I really don't want to spend my time hating people. I hated what he did. And I hated the things that he said. And I hated how he put vulnerable people at risk. And I hated all of that. But as soon as I heard that this happened, I heard that he was shot in the neck. And I thought, oh, shit, he's probably going to die.
I mean,
I mean, how do you fucking survive being shot in the neck? And anyway, I said to Bob, I was like, this is so fucking bad. I'm like, this is so bad because I knew what the right was going to do with this. Fortunately, they can't turn this into a they still are trying to make this into some leftist issue. And it isn't. But. Or, you know, the fact that leftists are so dangerous or whatever. I knew they were going to do this. And I thought, oh, my God, what are they, you know, are they going to declare martial law? What is the outcome of this? And I, you know, I mean, I think we've seen it and I don't think they're going to stop. But since this kid, you know, and I just want to point out, I saw a video of one of these guys that went to school with him. And it was, you know, I don't know, the guy, I don't know how old the shooter or the alleged shooter, I should say, I don't know, he's like 22 or something like that. So he had been out of high school for a while. So one of his high school, just somebody who went, it wasn't even a friend, just somebody who knew of him and saw him around, described him as a Reddit guy. And he said, you know, there's a lot of them. Now, I'm not young. I don't go to school anymore. And although I don't really read Reddit, I'm aware of Reddit and I understand what it is. But I think the whole point was that this kid was, first of all, radicalized by the internet. And I'm sure he just, you know, he spent all his time, you know, and there was the whole groper thing, if that's how you say it. I don't know how groper. I don't know whatever it is that he was. Groiker. I don't know what it was, but it was.
I know. Yeah. Groiper or whatever.
Groiper. That, you know, it's that weird internet world and there's guns and, oh, and then this was interesting though. What's his name? Nick Fuentes, who is a white supremacist. And I do not like this man at all. And I talked about this on Bob Seska's show, but I saw this clip from him and he was talking about Charlie Kirk. And I don't remember if it was before or after his death, but he was saying that, you know, Charlie gets all this credit for, oh, you know, opening up a dialogue with young people. And he's like, that's not what he did. He basically manipulated everything. So he would go in there with an agenda. I want to talk about, you know, whether it was Gaza or guns. He would always have this kind of like pre-made, I don't know if you would call it argument, but it was a manipulation and it was an agenda of how he was going to get to talk about what he wanted to. So it would go like this. He'd say blah, 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 blah. And then he would get a question from the audience. And so the audience member would ask him, let's just say it was about Gaza. That's what Nick Fuentes said. So the question would be about Gaza. And then Charlie Kirk would then turn around and then ask that kid a question. And it was a question where he knew the answer, and then he could then take the conversation in the direction that he wanted to. So
that's exactly what he did. He was a rage beater who was like, he would just kind of be contradictory all the time, but it was very purposeful.
Yes.
Like, he knew exactly the message. He was a messenger. He wasn't a debater. He didn't offer, he didn't welcome free thought. He used people to spread his message.
Yeah. And he knows, you know, you go in and if you have an understanding, whether he had it innately or he learned it, but if you can turn conversations into anything you want them to be, and people don't even realize it's happening. Because if, you know, that's like he asks a question and to a person and he knows what they're going to say, or he has an idea of how to take whatever they say and spin it around to go down that trajectory of whatever Charlie Kirk's point of view was. And then everybody would watch that and think, oh, he's, you know, he's having a debate. He's having this. He wasn't. He was manipulating the person he was talking to just so that he could get them to get him on the trajectory of exactly what he wanted to say. So there was that. And, you know, I think that was interesting, because that's another thing I want to throw in about the 3 points that I talked about in the beginning, Heather Cox Richardson, Robert Reich, and Park Rose Permaculture talking about the good things. I don't necessarily think this is good, but it is good for, I think, democracy that there is a splinter within MAGA, because there's like the Nick Fuentes, what's her name? Candace Owens. Those people, and even what's his name? Alex Jones kind of is part of it. So they're like, they're on one side of MAGA, and then there's another side of MAGA, and they're kind of at war with each other.
They are.
So that's good. That splinters them, and it makes it difficult. Now, I don't know what happens if we get JD as president. I don't know how that splinter, you know, where that goes.
Have you noticed they're using him more? They're using him a lot more in like on camera or at events or everywhere. And I'm like, what are they doing? Because like normally you don't see a vice president right. that much.
Well, did you hear him say, what did he say? Something about if anything happens, God forbid, if there was some terrible tragedy, God forbid, I can take over. And he wasn't even prompted.
He said that?
Yes, he said it on an interview.
I didn't see that.
And I think right after the days where we didn't hear from Trump. We saw him. We saw a couple of pictures of him, and he looked fucking bad. He had no makeup on.
Oh, he looked terrible. He didn't have any makeup. Yeah, he looked
vacant. His eyes were real kind of lost. And then there was that face at 9/11 where his face was drooping.
Yes.
So, but, and this was before. This is, I think when J.D. Vance said, was on an interview and he kind of offered it up. And that was also, you know, Trump's been talking about, I haven't heard him say anything lately, but he was really concerned about getting into heaven. So, you know, he said something on Fox and Friends.
Buy his way into heaven.
Yeah.
I'm going to barter my way into heaven.
Yeah, he's really concerned. And the thing, you know, I immediately recognized, all right, people who are not, who are old and not healthy, start worrying about heaven, you know, and clear, you know, he said I hear I'm low on the totem pole. That's what he said. It's like, you think, but he also put out an email about getting into heaven. So
I saw that. It was so, so strange.
Well, I think that it's just this fear. I think it's a fear. I think it's a fear deep, deep, deep down, because he knows everything that he's done. And, you know, I mean, I don't know if he legit believes in heaven. And this whole thing is not about Donald Trump, whether or not he gets into heaven or if heaven is real. This whole thing is, there's this man who's old and sick and clearly very, 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 very unhealthy. He's mentally declining. He's physically declining. And now he's talking about heaven. I just feel like, you know, 1 + 1.
Well, maybe if they believed in like reincarnation, we could like guess which lake he's like the scum at the bottom of, and then like all MAGA can just go and live at that lake.
Right, and, like, that would be cool.
Pond scum that he is. Yeah,
but yeah, I just don't know. I've been saying it. Like, I just don't think he's going to survive the term. And when I say survive, I don't necessarily mean he's going to die. I just, because, you know, like I said, he could have a stroke where he falls down, and I think he did have a stroke. I think he had a worse stroke. I think he's had a bunch of little strokes. Now, again, I don't know. This is my conspiracy. I have no idea. I mean, doctors are saying he has looks like he has congestive heart failure. And whether I always get confused whether it's the liver or kidney, but he's got something going on there. And this is all speculative because nobody gets, you know, if you talk to his doctor, he's the healthiest person that's ever walked the face of the earth. So we don't know. But so we only have speculation, and I feel like he's not healthy. He's an old man. The decline is obvious. It's been obvious. I mean, when Brian Karam was on the show not too long ago, he was saying that he's not the same guy as we knew in 2016.
No, not at all.
You know, I mean, he's clearly fading. But what does that mean? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he could still be here when 2028 comes. He could be, but I just don't think he will. He's declining quickly. And the thing is that when the oligarchs decide he's not useful anymore, he might want to avoid, you know, windows.
Or escalators,
right? Oh my God, that was so funny.
Escalator conspiracy.
Okay, really quick. This is the last thing, and I just kind of want to touch on this, but I don't know if you saw, but do you know who Tara Reid is?
Yeah.
Okay, so the woman who accused Biden of raping her, she has been granted citizenship in Russia. Putin granted her citizenship. And, you know, I mean, I just want to get this out of the way because I think it's important to reiterate this, that, you know, all the left always says, believe women, believe women, believe women. That doesn't mean that if a woman makes a claim that we just automatically assume that it's the truth and we don't, you know, check it out or whatever. I mean, you know, find out if it's the truth. Believe women is more of this thing of women are not believed when they go to the doctor and they say, I have pain. There are studies showing they're dismissed by their doctors. Women aren't believed. Women aren't listened to. And when we say that we were sexually assaulted, we get blamed. What were you wearing? How much did you have to drink? How late was it? Whatever, you know, were you kissing him? Were you leading him on? Were you flirting with him? It's always her fucking fault. And the whole believe women is not just if a woman says something to you, you have to automatically believe it's the truth and never question her. That's stupid. And of course, that's not what it means. But it's like when Tara Reid came into the picture and she said, you know, Biden raped me. I remember my first reaction was, oh, no. I didn't think Biden was a rapist. Like in my heart of hearts, I did not think that he was a rapist. However, it's like, oh, shit, we've got this allegation and we need to take it seriously. And that's what believe women means. We need to take them seriously. And I did. I took her seriously and I listened to what she had to say. And I found out she wrote love letters to Putin. And you know, and I think the one thing which my mother noticed privately and then Sherry Jacobus said it publicly was that when she's making this claim that, you know, they were in the hallways and whatever area they were in whatever building they were, Congress or whatever, that he had like lifted up her skirt or something like that. And she had said she had taken her pantyhose off because it was hotter. She didn't wear pantyhose. And that's like the big fucking telltale. That was I think it was 1993 or something like that. And pantyhose were required. I used to work at the fucking Broadway department store and they were required. If you walked into the Broadway and you didn't have pantyhose on, you were sent home. You were not allowed to work. You might as well walk in fucking in your underwear. It was just, you weren't allowed to work. So there was no way in hell she wasn't wearing pantyhose. That little detail was enough. I mean, there were all these other details that it was clear she was lying. But, you know, I just wanted to throw that out there because I lost the respect of a feminist who I was friendly with. And I believe that she was raped. And when she saw that I did not, you know, after finding out my own info, you know, like looking up Tara Reid and seeing what she was all about, I didn't believe her. And so this feminist, I think, felt personally offended by me and won't even talk to me anymore. And it makes me sad because it's like, I don't know what even to say to that, you know? I mean, I get that you want women to be believed and you want women to, and I want women to be believed too. I want women to be taken seriously. But I recognize in a political situation, you're going to have people making mostly, and it's mostly, not all, mostly they're on the right. They're accusing the Democrats.
Of course.
And they're lying. And, you know, some of them may not be lying. I mean, I don't know exactly what Bill Clinton did, although I certainly do not believe fucking Juanita Broderick. I do not believe her. She's such a fucking MAGA. And, you know, I mean, I know that Bill Clinton was a sniffing dog. And from, oh, just, and from.
And there's so much misogyny on the left, too.
Yes, tons of it.
Yeah, it's pervasive. And, like, we don't talk enough about it. But, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just that you said that, I want to just bring that to the forefront again. Yes, there's all kinds of there's patriarchy. You know, there are men that I've known who are liberal and they vote blue, but they're patriarchal and they take advantage of it. They, you know, sometimes it's little, sometimes it's big. There's a difference between a liberal patriarchal man and a conservative patriarchal, you know, conservatives have their own little thing. Liberals are different. And I know plenty of them. I will say this, Bob is not in any way patriarchal. And I think that, you know, I met him when I was 47 years old. And, you know, now we've been together for 10 years and I can say 100% he is not patriarchal. Aside from, yes, he's a feminist and yes, he's a really fair person. I think that the reason I'm not going to say waited, that I didn't, that my first major relationship as an adult was at 47 was because I just don't think, you know, I didn't think of it in these terms, but most of the men I met were patriarchal in one way or another. Even if they voted blue, even if they voted for Hillary Clinton, they were still patriarchal. They would still use their power as a man to get their way when it suited them. In some cases, maybe they'd be cool about it, but then in other cases, no. And I just, you know, so you're so right. And I think we do need to have these discussions about whether it's patriarchy, misogyny, sexism. Of course it exists on the left. Of course it does.
And the women who love the proximity to power that behave in ways that
yes
are not always the best.
Yes, 100%. Oh my God, we have so much to learn. We have so much to fucking learn. But I don't know. Well, I still think we have something to be hopeful for. I think that the more we see this pushback, like what we saw with Jimmy Kimmel, what that does is it sends out like inspirational energy to everybody. It makes everybody feel like, oh, wait a minute, I've got a little bit of power here. Even if it's just, you know, calling up an advertiser and saying, I'm not going to support Sinclair, or, you know, or if you, I'm going to boycott you if you continue to advertise on Sinclair. And I don't know if enough people know this, but Sinclair, I don't know if it's Sinclair Broadcasting, owns all these independent stations all across the United States. And they're like ABC, NBC, CBS affiliates.
Nextstar too.
Yeah, Nextstar.
That's what I have. And I haven't been able to see Jimmy Kimmel. I have to watch it on YouTube.
Wow. Yeah. See, I think that's when we need to start. That's how we can fight back. If you find out, you know, look at the advertisers, call up the advertisers and say, I'm boycotting you. As long as you're with Nextstar, as long as you're with Sinclair, not going to buy you. And then you have to stand by that. You have to not buy. But yeah,
yeah, exactly. Like when you're going to boycott like Hulu, you actually have to cancel Hulu.
Right.
You can't not turn your app on.
Exactly. You have to do it. So, I mean, it's a little bit of discomfort. It's not, you know, I mean, I get everybody likes their shows. And part of the way we stay sane in this crazy world is through entertainment. But, you know, it's really about, do you want to live in a fascist country moving forward? So pick your side. Anyway, all right. So I'm going to wrap this up and I want to remind people, or I want you to remind people of the name of your company and where to find it. And then where do we find you?
Well, I am currently need to create a lot of the socials for my company, but it is on LinkedIn, Relevate Strategies, and you can find it at relevatestrategies.com. And then you can find me at Sarah Wood Writer on pretty much everything except for Blue Sky. I'm Sarah Wood. I was the first one there. So that was exciting.
You were the first person on Blue Sky?
Well, no, first Sarah Wood.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I have a name. Like it's like John Smith. Like it's like the most. Like,
oh, gotcha.
It's such a common name. So right. I'm going to be the Sarah Wood. And I know there's probably like a million Sarah Woods out there. I'm like, fuck, bitch. That's my name.
You bitch.
Like, oh, yeah.
You're such a bitch, Sarah.
Oh, yeah.
You're so sweet. You're such a sweet, good person. You're like the opposite of a bitch.
I try. It doesn't always serve me well, but I try.
Well, thank you once again for being on the show. It's always fun talking to you. And take advantage of her, people. She's good at what she does. So if you know anybody, just, you know, tell your friends, check her out. And we will talk again, Sarah.
Sounds good.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
I'm Brian Karam, and I've spent decades covering politics. Now I'm taking you behind the scenes, one interview at a time.
Join us as each week Brian confronts the issues that matter, posing the questions you wish you could ask. No filter, no agenda, just the truth.
We're not here for sound bites. We're here for substance. Join me, Brian Karam, every week as we cut through the noise and get straight to it. This is Just Ask the Question. Where curiosity will lead us to the facts.
Subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform. And remember, when you want answers, all you have to do is just ask the question.
Tired of sugar-coated news and corporate spin? Check out The Nicole Sandler Show. Speaking truth to power with the irreverence it deserves. Smart, fearless, and just the right amount of snark. Nicole breaks down the headlines, exposes the hypocrisy, and talks with the people working for real change. Weekdays at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific on Progressive Voices, NicoleSandler.com, Substack, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't just get the news, get the truth.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.